Blog Talk Radio.
This is Spreaker Web Radio.
Welcome to AquarianRadio.com.
AquarianRadio.com.
Aloha, this is Enki, you know me as Aquarius, and this is our age, the Satayuga, time to celebrate with us. We have programs on all chakra tantra, love styles and relationship choices, counseling strategies and techniques that you can use at home. We have extraterrestrial radio where we deal with alienology, paranormal people, and we have an experiencers network. We have a section called Ancient Aliens. And the programs therein are Enki Speaks, Nimma, the Mother of Humanity, has her program, and we revise ancient anthropology. And most important of all, we have peace paradigms, because this is the age of peace. Harmony and understanding, sympathy and love abound. No more falsehoods or derisions, mystic crystal dreams and visions. This is Enki. It is I who 300,000 years ago created your race, and 200,000 years ago, and it was a lot of fun, made it even better with some of the pretty girls. And it is I who saved you from the flood, and it is I and my beloved Nimma and my son Ningishiga Thoth who are here to help you overcome my runaway son Marduk or Allah, my brother Enlil or Yahweh. And free yourself from all the supposed gods and recognize your own great potential. You have much to teach us. And we, Anunnaki, those of us from Nibiru, welcome full partnership.
And here are your hosts, Janet and Dr. Sasha Lesson.
Aloha and welcome to Aquarian Radio. This episode today, well, the show today is Enki Speaks, which is one of the segments of Ancient Aliens, brought to you by Aquarian Radio. Today's episode is Episode 5, Enki's Son Adapa. Our website for Enki Speaks is EnkiSpeaks.com. Today is January 4th, 2013. Welcome, everybody, to our show. I'm your host, Janet Kirlesson, and my co-host is my beloved, wonderful husband, Dr. Sasha Lesson. And he's going to tell you a little bit more about today's show.
Aloha. First, I'd like to just correct or complete what the intro cut me off, where I was saying, you know, the age of Aquarius from Herod, where they say mystic crystal revelations, and the last line is, and the mind's true liberation. And I really wanted to say that that is the part of the poem from here that I really want you to know, that this work, looking at the Anunnaki, the false gods, the big guys from Nibiru who came and set things up here, is when we no longer worship them and just realize they're big, greedy, warring, homicidal guys, and some nice ones too, but they're as diverse as we are, then we do have the mind's true liberation, free to be who we are and not to follow their precepts of greed and competition.
Well, we break the God spell, and we're going to talk more about the God spell and how it came into place in the first place and the purpose behind the God spell, which was put in place by the gods, and who the gods were, and they were the Anunnaki, and which were the good Anunnaki and the bad Anunnaki, but that's too black and white.
They were complex.
Yeah, they're complex
human beings,
just like human beings. And so the god Enki is the one that loved humanity, but sometimes he got a bad rep by his bad rap by his brother Enlil, who tried to reverse the roles, and Yahweh was saying, "I'm the good one," and I think they loved humanity in their own way.
Yeah, and Enki's son did the same thing, same things. You know, I'm the only one; everyone else is beneath me.
And then they took their people, and they created war and had them pitted against each other, and it became the old endless game of my God's better than your God. And we're still playing it to today.
Kill for Jesus?
Would you kill for Allah? Would you kill for Yahweh? Would you kill for Ra? Ra? Kill, 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 kill. Anyway, go ahead.
About
today's episode.
So we've been going through Lost Book of Enki, which is translated and put together by Zechariah Sitchin, but it's based so tightly on information that he brought forth from translations from the firing of some cuneiform tablets in the library of Ashurbanipal way back when. And so it's very, very close. And so as Janet and I, we have some exposition where we tell you what's happening. And then tablet by tablet, we read directly from the Lost Book of Enki. And what's happening to me, because I've gone over this material, I started this book, you know, maybe 12 years ago, I start to understand it more and more and more deeply. And things I just skipped over as being inconsequential, now with the kind of greater knowledge that we have, the stuff that Michael Tellinger and Michael Cremo have brought us, we can really put this together in a way that's never before. So as Janet and I read to you, we're discovering things too. Has that been your experience too, Janet?
Of course. Every day is a learning experience. And so this is a huge learning curve. What happened? You know, what's the true history of humanity? And is there ever going to be the truth? And it's all kind of subjective through the eyes of the person perceiving it. So what kind of reality, what kind of truth can we find in the midst of all this that will work best for the totality of humanity? That's, for me, the important thing. I came from a very Christian religious background, and everybody would argue about the little details of the Bible and who had the right way and the right path and the right religion, and so that is part of the God spell.
Yeah, we'll see that the Bible is based on this story, and that the scholars who wrote up the Old Testament while they were in Babylon in exile from Jerusalem were dealing with the story that we're now going through in the Lost Book of Enki, and they were trying to make it all fit within the purview of a single great God, Yahweh, who was just one of these guys. He was the commander of the gold mining expedition to Earth, and make that a sort of a national god of the area of Canaan that they controlled.
Right, and then the gods would change over time based on the ages of the zodiac, the span of time, space, constellations, and so it's very complex. But
let's go to today's episode.
Yeah,
just to bring you the sequence, just so that you get that. And you can always go back and check the prior episodes to just click through on the site. But thank you, honey. Yes. So the Nibirans came here 450 to 400,000 years ago to gold mine, to get gold to ship back to their planet. And the commander of the transshipment base on Mars was a guy named Marduk, who at one point had been the pretender to the throne of Nibiru, but now here he was with his dad, the scientist Enki, on Earth. And when Mars base got ruined because Nibiru came through, and or its Lagrange points came through, but in any case, the base got ruined. Marduk was out of a job, and we saw last time that was all about how Enki, the father, the great scientist, divided up the heavens into celestial time so that there was 12 equal parts. And he said, you know, when Earth gets underneath the constellation of the Ram, and the Ram is on the horizon there, and it's going to be your turn to rule. You don't get to be king of Nibiru, but at least you'll rule on Earth. And he promised that to Marduk. So that was what happened last time. That was and we finished the seventh tablet. Now, in the south of Africa, from Mozambique to Botswana, Zimbabwe, and beyond, were the descendants of Adamu. Now, Adamu was the male in the breeding pair of Tiamat and Adama that Enki had. He had fomented a mutiny by the Nibirans that were working in the mines, and he used that as an excuse to create this slave race. And the mating pair that he and his son Ningishida and his partner Nima had created was Adamu, and Adamu and Tiamat bred hundreds of thousands, and their descendants made more descendants and so forth. So they were
Adamu and Tiamat were basically Adam and Eve, correct?
That's right. That was Adam and Eve. But that was just the first translation. And these people really, really worked the whole south of Africa. It was amazing. If you ever look at the work that Michael Tellinger did, you can actually see where these workings were. And Michael says is a quote, "The extended ancient settlement area covers an area much larger than modern Johannesburg, more than 500,000 square kilometers. The Nibirans and their Adamite slaves, that is the descendants of Adam and Tiamat, built circles of stone. They lined these circles of stone with a never-ending web over 500 kilometers of roads and connecting channels that were lined on both sides with, again, over 500 million large, iron-rich, magnetically charged stones. And these stones climb hills that are way too steep for animals." So what Enki and these slaves, servants, whatever you want to call them, did is they made this whole way of generating electricity using the kind of principles that Tesla later reintroduced to us. So they had this going. The Nibirans and their hybrid laborers in South Africa sent this capacitated energy generated by sound along the connecting lanes. They moved the goods with water and, this is a quote, "a levitation device that tapped into the magnetic content of the stones in the same way that modern trains float above their electromagnetic tracks." And so this helps them lift things. And we know what they were. What was it, honey?
Oh, I just wanted to interject when we're getting the size of this city. Johannesburg has 3.8 million people. So that was based on a couple years ago. So it's probably more, right? So this is a huge city.
Oh, it's absolutely huge. When you see it from a satellite picture, it blows your mind. Crew down there used a floating substance. It was monoatomic gold, the white powder of it, the same stuff that they were using to ship back to Nibiru for their atmosphere. The roads connected the pits that they had there where they leached the gold. There was houses, there was terraces, there were workstations, there were ceremonial centers. Three of South African cities that contained over 11,000 million circular stone ruins covered 10,000 kilometers. This is all stuff from Michael Tellinger. But 70,000 years ago, something really heavy happened. Disaster in the form of poisonous gas and dust swept over the ancient African gold mining complex. The survivors fled Africa. And these refugees were the early Bantu. And they were named after Antu's Antu, which is King Anu's wife. The early Bantu fled from Africa, got it, and the ones that survived this poisonous volcano, and they made it to India. And this was the Lake Toba explosion on Sumatra. That just the prevailing winds from the supervolcano carried most of the dust and poisonous gases westwards toward eastern and southern Africa, and it caused a mini ice age. And the areas most affected were South Africa, where the first civilization lived. But the refugees carried the memories of the earth-moving equipment, the astronomy, the metallurgy, the writing, the architecture, the energy generation, the aircraft, the weaponry of the Nibirans. They didn't know how to make it, but the wise people of the Zulu Nation have all recounted these tales from their ancestors. So, Janet, your...
Well, okay, I just wanted to interject. While you were talking about 70,000 years ago, I kind of Googled what happened 70,000 years ago, and there's an article that came up how human beings almost vanished from the earth 70,000 BC. So there's something, I'll have to research this later, but there's some correlation with what Tellinger was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's great. So
yeah.
So Adapa, Enki's smart son, he bossed the Earthlings. Adapa and
Trump. Oh no, we've got to take we seem to have skipped something in the story here.
Okay, wait, let's go back.
Yeah. So what we skipped is the fact that the kind of humans, the Homo erectus, Homo sapien humans that were working the mines, were up-leveled by Enki. Enlil was demanding less slaves and smarter ones, and so Enki started making it with the pretty girls, and then with their daughters, and their daughters' prettiest daughters, and so forth. And pretty soon, he was creating this whole race of super, super enhanced, he thought, human beings. And the first one that he did was his kid, Adapa. And this is who today's story is about. They had a girl, Titi, and Domkina and Nimab. I both really liked Titi and taught her all kinds of women things. But Enki just doted on Adapa. So this is the second coming, so to speak. Enki has created this son, and he decides he's going to tutor him. He's going to give him all the knowledge and just see how smart can this guy get. And so now Janet will take on the rest of the story from here.
Okay. So now we're going to talk about Adapa, Enki's smart son, who bossed Earthlings. So Adapa and Titi, Enki's son and daughter, mated, and Titi bore the twins Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel.
Yeah, we will have another story about them next time.
We'll talk about Cain and Abel down the line. The first Adapaite humans.
They're called Adapaites.
Adapaites, yeah.
And this is so it's descendants of Adapa. This is the special son of Enki, are called the Adapaites. The descendants of the earlier human, Adam, are called the Adamites.
So these are humans with far more Anunnaki DNA,
yeah,
due to Enki's genetic infusion, which he literally the second round, or the first, yeah, he made it. He kept mating with human females.
Successive generations.
And so, anyway, there's a whole story on eventually we had blue eyes. mating. Originally they were dark eyes, and then the variation started coming about. So that's another story. Nibirian genes relative to erectus, his genetic confusion with creating Nibirian genes, more Nibirian genes relative to erectus genes than their mothers.
Yeah.
The Adamite girls, Enki, impregnated. So Enki was having a lot of fun. Enki schooled his clandestine son Adapa. He ordered Adapa to teach his descendants.
Slow down, honey.
He ordered Adapa to teach his descendants, the enhanced earthlings, to run farms and to have herds and create estates. And Enki brought more earthlings from Africa to Sumer for Adapa to train for the mission bosses' homes and facilities. So they started to create a whole civilization, a whole global system.
And they brought them up to Mesopotamia.
They brought them up to Mesopotamia. So Adapa worked and studied and pondered. He learned Amirans ate the bread of life and drank the water of life to live hundreds of thousands of years. So these are secrets to immortality.
That's right. Well, it looked like immortality to Adapa, because
right.
but we don't know if it was really just extreme longevity or not. But he could see that they were drinking this stuff and eating this stuff, and they were living thousands of years.
Yeah, so without these substances, he died in a mere thousand of years. So even back then, human beings lived hundreds, if not thousands of years. But he begged Enki for the bread and water, secret elixir for immortality. He wanted to become immortal too, or at least having the life expectancies of the Anunnaki.
Mm-hmm.
So Adapa was a busybody in charge of the services for which the primitive workers were brought over to the Eden. He supervised bakers, assured water supplies, oversaw fishing for Eridu, and tended offerings.
Yeah, I understand. This guy ran everything for Enki. All the coordination. He became like the CEO, and Enki just sort of let him go and let him do it. He was so smart.
So Enki used a device that changed and reversed the wind that blew down the Persian Gulf to blow Adapa north in a sailboat, or he sent Adapa in a rocket. What was going on there?
Okay, so what happened is Enki knew how, because of the arrays that he had of energy stored in capacitors, he was able to create, like we do with HAARP, bounce signals off the ionosphere. And what he did was he changed the wind and blew Adapa in the direction on a sailboat in the direction he wanted him to go. And this is a technology that Enki had not shared with Enlil. And it seemed like Adapa was in on this. And so a spy sees of Enlil's, and he's blowing up from Africa, he's blowing up toward Mesopotamia, up the Persian Gulf, or up the Red Sea. And,
a spy told him, though, he saw Adapa speeding north. Is
yeah,
that what you're saying?
That's
yes.
Right.
Okay.
To the north toward Mesopotamia.
Towards Mesopotamia. So.
Okay. So.
So here the story continues.
Okay.
Are we going to read some from the book at all?
No, we're going to get to the book, honey.
Okay, we'll get to the book. Go ahead, Dick.
On Nibiru. And King Anu basically is going to say no to Adapa's immortality. Enlil beamed Anu on Nibiru. Enki changed Gulf weather to blow Adapa south. That's what he said. Anu sent his vizier, Ilabrat, to Earth to go get Adapa. Enki gave Ilabrat Adapa and sent his two unmarried Earthborn sons, Nigashita, who'd helped him with the genetics, and Dumuzi, his younger son, with Adapa, and he sent them all to meet the grandfather, Anu, and perhaps even find Nibiru brides there, and we're going to go read that in detail in the book. On Nibiru, King Anu asked Adapa, why did Enki change the wind, and how come he sent you the direction you were going on the Gulf? Nigashita slipped Anu a sealed tablet from Enki. Enki's tablet said he wanted Adapa to breed more enhanced earthlings, but he confessed that he was the father of Adapa and of Titi, and he had them with earthlings, and they were all, these are with earthlings that had already descended from Adamu and Tiamat. In other words, he already told the truth. Nigashita already knew that from Adapa's DNA. He already figured out that Enki was the father of Adapa and Titi. Enki asked Anu, and this is really important, to send Adapa back to beget more hybrids and make more civilized humans. But don't give him, Enki said, food or elixir, the ones that the bread of life and the manna from heavens, the water of life, that would lengthen their lives. So the earthlings that were descended from both Adam and Adapa, Anu knew, descended from him, from Anu as well. Enki and Nigashita, that's Anu's son and his son's son, via their seed has passed Anu's genes to all of us earthlings too. And this is mixed with DNA erectus. We are an illegal, as far as they were concerned, but civilized species, and we all have the genes of Anu. Now, Enki wanted to deny Earthlings the seemingly eternal lifespan that the Nibirans had.
Yeah, that's a mystery.
And so, and this is part of why we are now, we understand, from Alfred Weber, quarantined on Earth.
Can we talk about that just a second before we go on
sure.
to the next thing? Okay.
We're almost...
Okay, you finish this.
Okay, this is
sure.
So I'm just going to finish this, and then I'm going to give you the mic for just a minute. So Ningishita basically took Adapa plus seeds back to Earth. Anu gave Ningishita grain seeds and told him to take them and to take Adapa back to Earth. His instructions were Adapa is to learn to teach, and with Enki teach all the teachers of human beings. And so they had Dumuzi stay back to learn animal husbandry. And before we read from the book, Janet has a few words.
Hi. We're going to take a commercial break.
It's all part of the plan.
Aloha, we're back. That was Dig That Hole by You Are a Hologram. Quite an appropriate song because our ancestors were digging that hole down in the mines. And I kind of picked that randomly, and I realized that. Isn't that funny? I picked a song that was about the mines, human beings that got stuck down in South Africa digging gold, and they're still digging gold to this day. But they're digging another way. They're corporate economic slaves. So I wanted to talk about a couple points before we went on to the next thing. And let me go back to what was important was the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're not sure exactly what was going on, and we're still investigating this. And if anybody out there has any ideas on why did Anu deny the water of life?
I think I know.
What do you think, honey?
I believe that he realized that his successor, Anu's successor, had to be Enlil, his official heir, and that if he were going to empower the line of Adapa, that would be the line of Enki, which he would be building force, and he feared an invasion by Marduk and the humans, the hybrids. And so that this was to keep the hybrids from ever organizing behind Marduk and taking over. I think that's the way Anu thought.
I think the tablet was saying, and I've got to find the text, exact text, but that Enki asked Anu to deny Adapa the food or elixir, the bread of life.
That's right. That's definitely what it said. But what I'm saying is, I think it was some kind of it's like the Democrats and Republicans in the Congress, some kind of deal that Enki had to make with Enlil in order to allow this trip. And we will see what the Lost Book of Enki says in detail about how it is that Adap is being sent with this strange instruction: don't let him live as long as we do.
And then there's another interesting thing that you pointed out, that these Earthlings are now descended from Anu himself, so now he has a vested interest in his lineage continuing. And if you really think about what was going on for the Anunnaki at that time, they were losing ground. You know, genetically they were becoming infertile. Their planet had doused with too much radiation or something.
Yes, that's right.
And so this was much like we see today in today's alien literature, how the Greys are coming in and creating hybrid species with humans. This was the original hybrid program. And while Anu might not have been conscious about it initially, that it was being done, or maybe even it was kind of good cop, bad cop, said it was an illegal species and don't do it, this is actually the way that their species survived. And so the Anunnaki are here. There's only, maybe, I don't know how many are all together on Nibiru and Earth, but on Earth there were only about 1,000 pure gods and goddesses, Anunnaki. And so this is the way that their species survives. So, okay, so now we're going to go into reading.
We're reading from the 8th tablet of the Lost Book of Enki, and Jen and I will take turns reading.
Okay, where did you want me to start?
See, these little, follow those.
Okay, so in the 8th tablet,
this is the king of Anu saying this.
Let Adapa, the earthling, to Nibiru be brought. So did Anu his decision declare. By the decision, Enlil was not pleased. Whoever this would have thought, that by a primitive worker fashioning like us the being would become, with knowledge endowed between heaven and earth will travel. On Nibiru, the waters of long life he will drink, the food of long life eat. Like one of us Anunnaki shall the one of earth become. So was Enlil to Enki and the other leaders, saying, by the decision of Anu, Enki too was not pleased. solemn was his face after Anu had spoken. After Enlil had spoken with Enlil, his brother, Enki agreed. Indeed, who of this would have thought? So to the others did Enki say. The brothers sat and contemplated. Nimmo with them also was deliberating. The command of Anu cannot be avoided to them, she said. Let Adapa by our young ones to Nibiru be accompanied. His fright to diminish to Anu things explain. So did Enki to the others say. Let Nigashida and Dumuzi his companions be. By the way, Nibiru, for the first time, with their eyes also see. By Nimmo was the suggestion favored. Our young ones on earth born of Nibiru are forgetting. Its life cycles by those of earth are overwhelmed. Let the two sons of Enki, as yet unmarried, to Nibiru also travel. Perchance brides there for themselves shall they find. When the next celestial chamber for Nibiru did arrive in Sippar, Habrat, a vizier of Anu, from the chamber stepped off. I have come to fetch the earthling Adapa. So to the leaders he said. The leaders to Ilabrat, Adapa presented. Titi and her sons to him they also showed. Indeed, in our image and after our likeness they are, so did Ilabrat say. To Ilabrat, Nigashina and Dumuzi, sons of Enki, were presented. To accompany Adapa on his journey they have been selected. To him, Enki said, Anu, his grandchildren to see, will be pleased, so did Ilabrat say.
To hear instructions, Enki Adapa to him summoned. To Adapa thus he said, Adapa, to Nibiru, the planet where we had come, you will be going. Before Anu, our king, you will come. To his majesty, you will be presented, and before him, you shall bow. Speak only when asked to questions. Short answers give. New clothing you'll be given. The new garments put on. A bread on earth not found, they to you will give. The bread is death. Don't eat it. In a chalice, an elixir to drink they'll give to you. The elixir is death. Do not drink. With you, Ningajita and Dumuzi, my sons, will journey. To their words, hearken, and then you'll live. So did Enki Adapa instruct. This I shall remember, Adapa said. Enki, Ningashita and Dumuzi summoned to them a blessing and advice he gave. Before Anu the king, my father, your coming, to him you shall bow and homage pay. By princes and nobles do not be coward, of them you are the equals. To bring Adapa back to earth is your mission. By Nibiru's delights, don't be charmed. This we shall remember, Ningashita said, and Dumuzi said it too. His younger son, Dumuzi, Enki embraced. On his forehead he kissed him. The wise one, Ningashita, Enki embraced. On the forehead he kissed him. A sealed tablet in the hand of Ningashita he unseen placed. To my father, Anu, this tablet in secret you shall give. So did Enki to Ningashita say.
Then Chu, with Adapa to Sippar, departed. To the place of the celestial chariots they went. To Ilabrat, Anu's vizier, the three of them themselves presented. To Ningashita and Dumuzi, the garb of Ijiji was given. Like celestial eagles, they were dressed.
Ijiji means astronaut corps.
As for Adapa, his unkempt hair was shaven, a helmet as that of an eagle he was given. Instead of his loincloth, a tight-fitting vestment he was made to wear. Between Ningashita and Dumuzi, inside that which ascends, he was placed. When the signal was given, the celestial chariot roared and shuddered. In fright did Adapa cower and cry out, "The eagle without wings is soaring!" upon his side, Ningishita and Dimuthi, their arms placed, with soothing words they them calmed. With one league aloft they were borne, upon the earth they glanced out, its lands they saw by seas and oceans into parts separated. When 2 leagues aloft they were, the ocean to a tub grew smaller, the land was the size of a basket. When 3 leagues aloft they were, again they cast a glance whence they had departed. The earth was now as a small ball, by a sea of darkness in the vastness swallowed. Once again Adapa agitated was. He cowered and cried out. "Take me back," he shouted. Ningishita, on his hand on the neck of Adapa, put, in an instant was Adapa quiet.
So this, of course, is the it comes down in the Bible to the ascent of Ezekiel to heaven. And if you look at our website with www.enkispeaks.com, you'll see some artist rendition of this incredible.
Are you saying that Ezekiel was Adapa?
I'm saying that the same archetypes were repeated again and again in human history, and that it's difficult to understand whether the historians who 400 years after the events, 4,000 years after, whatever, 400 years after the events in whatever it was, 600 years actually, in Babylon, trying to put together the story, it's the same story. It's the identical story, step by step by step. When you look at some of the scientific literature, you see where scholars have compared this. It's the same story.
Where they're going into space and the Earth gets smaller and smaller, and you have a primitive person trying to describe what's happening when they're being taken into space, and this happens over and over.
It's not that he's a primitive person, it's just that the metaphors that he has available and the experiences he has to use as similes are just those within his experience. And so that a celestial chariot is a rocket ship, you know, of course. Okay.
All right.
So I just want you to see that we're, as Enki says, the past, the future shall be. We keep doing the same stories in many, many ways. Okay, so with Ilabrat to the palace, Ningishita, Dimuthi, and Adapa were taken to be washed and perfumed with oils. Did you already read this part yet? No.
I see.
I see. Okay. Oh, so first when he landed. Oh boy! I mean, this was such a big deal. Everybody was curious. The children of Enki on Earthborn to see, even more to an Earthling to encounter, a being from another world on Nibiru has arrived. So were the crowds shouting. Okay, there we go.
Okay, with Ilabrat to the palace, they were taken to be washed and with perfumed oils anointed. Fresh and befitting garments they were given. Heeding Enki's word, Adapa the new clothing did put on. In the palace, nobles and heroes milled about. In the throne room, princes and counselors gathered. To the throne room by Ilabrat they were led, Adapa behind him, then the 2 sons of Enki. In the throne room before Anu, the king, they bowed. From his throne, Anu stepped forward.
My grandsons, he cried out.
He hugged Dimuthi, he hugged Ningishita. With tears in his eyes, he embraced them, he kissed them. To the right, Dimuthi, he bade to be seated. On his left, Ningishita sat. Then Ilabrat to Anu, the earthling Adapa, presented. "Does he our speech understand?" Anu, the king of Ilabrat, inquired.
"Indeed he does, my lord Enki. My lord Enki has taught him,"
Ilabrat so answered.
"Come hither,"
Anu to Adapa said.
"What's your name? What's your occupation?"
Forward Adapa stepped. Again he bowed.
"Adapa is my name. Of the lord Enki, a servant."
So did Adapa in words speak. His speaking great amazement was causing. "A wonder of wonders on earth has been attained," Anu declared. "A wonder of wonder on earth has been attained," all the assembled shouted. "Let there a celebration be. Let our guests thus welcome," Anu was saying. To the banquet room, Anu, all who were assembled, led. To the laden tables he happily gestured. At the laden tables, bread and nibiru, adapa, was offered. He did not eat it. At the laden tables, elixir of nibiru, adapa, was offered. He did not drink it. By this, Anu was puzzled, was offended. Why has Enki to Nibiru this ill-mannered earthling sent to him the celestial ways?
Come now, Adapa, come now. Why did you neither eat nor drink our hospitality? Why did you reject our hospitality?
My master, the Lord Enki, commanded me, the bread do not eat, the elixir do not drink. So did Adapa, the king Anu, answer.
How odd is this thing?
Anu was saying.
For what has Enki, from an earthling, our food and elixir prevented?
He asked Illibrat. He asked Dumuzi. Illibrat, the answer, knew not. Dumuzi could not explain. He asked Nigashita. Perchance in this lies the answer. Nigashita to Anu said, the secret tablet that he carried hidden to earth, Anu, the king, he then gave. Puzzled was Anu. Anu was concerned. To his private chamber he went, the tablet to decipher.
Keep going.
Now this is the account of Adapa, of civilized mankind, the progenitor, and how by his sons Cain and Abel satiation on earth was started. In his private chamber, Anu, the tablet seal broken open. Into the scanner, the tablet he inserted, its message from Enki to decipher.
Adapa, by my seed to an earthling woman was born, so did the message from Enki say. Likewise with Titi, was Titi by another earthling woman of my seed conceived. With wisdom and speech they are endowed. With Nibiru's long lifetime they are not endowed. The bread of long living he should not eat. The elixir of long life he should not drink. To live and die on earth, Adapa must return. Mortality his lot must be. By the sowing and shepherding of his offspring on earth, satiation will be. So did Enki the secret of Adapa to his father Anu reveal. By the secret message from Enki, Anu was astounded, whether to be angry or laugh, he knew not. Illibrat, his vizier, to his private chamber he summoned. To him he thus said, that son of mine, Ea Enki, even as Enki, his free ways with females has not mended, he's still doing it. To Illibrat, his vizier, the message on the tablet he showed. What are the rules? What is the king to do? Of his vizier, Anu inquired. Concubines by our rules are permitted of interplanetary cohabitation. No rules exist. So you can have a concubine, but cohabiting with others, other species, there's no rules about it. So did Illibrat to the king respond. If a damage there be, let it be restricted. Let Adapa forthwith to earth be returned. Let Nengashita and Dumuzi longer stay. So that's what the king said. Let Adapa forthwith to earth be returned. Let Nengashita and Dumuzi longer stay here on Nibiru.
My turn. Anu, then Nengashita to his private chamber summoned. Know you what your father's message said of Nengashita? He inquired. Nengashita, his head lowered, with whispering voice he said, I know not, but guess I can. The life essence of Adapa I have tested. Of Enki's seed he is. That indeed is the message to him, Anu said. Adapa to earth forthwith shall return. To be of civilized man, a progenitor, his destiny shall be. As for you, Nigashita, to earth with Adapa you shall return. Of civilized mankind at your father's side, to become the teacher.
Read that again. That's such a powerful thing that Anu is giving this assignment to Nengashita.
From here? To be of civilized man, a progenitor, his destiny shall be. As for you, Nengashita, to earth with Adapa you shall return. of civilized mankind at your father's side to become the teacher.
Yeah.
So did Anu, the king, the decision make. The destiny of Adapa and Ningxia he determined. To the assembled savants and nobles, princes and counselors, Anu and the other two returned. To the assembled words of decision, Anu announced, "The welcome to the earthling must not be overextended. On our planet, he cannot eat or drink. Of his astounding abilities we have all seen, let him to Earth return. Let his offspring there on Earth's fields till, and in the meadows shepherd."
To ensure his safety and avoid his agitation, Ningxia went back with him. Back with him will travel. With him the seeds of Nibiru, of grains which will multiply to Earth, will be sent. So this is a real big... They're coming back. Ningxia is coming back with Adapa, with grain seeds from which to make bread and beer and all kinds of things. Dumuzi the youngest for Ashar. That means a whole rotation of
about
Nibiru
3600 years.
Around Nemesis, its primary. So Dumuzi is going to stay with us for one of our years, which is like 3,600 Earth years. And we're going to teach him everything to do with raising animals, then to Earth with ewes and the essence of sheep, the seeds. He shall be returned.
Wow.
To be continued.
Yes, so that was big. So because they were human, part human, they didn't want them to have the elixir and the immortality. So this mystery will unfold.
I think they feared,
to this day.
You can see, they feared the hybrid vigor that is inevitable. And it's also, if you really look at the discussion in the very beginning of the tablet, where Enki is agitating to not allow these earthlings that seem to multiply so fast.
Well, you can see how they would overwhelm
absolutely.
And take over. I mean, it's kind of like the movie The Planet of the Apes. I don't know if you ever saw that, honey, but they created intelligent apes, and then the creators of the intelligent apes were afraid that they would take over the world.
Yes, that's the same story.
So it's the same story, and so here it goes. It came forth in fiction, but that was a fictionalized story of the Anunnaki and human story, so here we are. So, if you have any final words, you can be closer to the mic.
We will next time pick up the thread as first of all Ningxia returns, and then Dumuzi returns, and they decide that they're going to sponsor Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel will each have be tutored in either animal husbandry or gardening, and Marduk takes a personal interest in all this, and so this whole thing between Cain and Abel that you get in attenuated form in the Bible takes place with much, much more detail when you realize that this is part of a clan rivalry between the descendants of Enki, especially Marduk, his oldest son, and the descendants of Enlil, that's Ninurta, Enki's son, and that faction.
Oh, and here they sent back grains and the essence of
sheep.
And so the essence was probably the DNA. So
that's what it was.
Some breeder pairs. It doesn't really say that, but anyway, very interesting.
No, they sent back the seeds. What they mean by that is they sent the test tube zygotes and gametes, eggs and sperms for the geneticist Enki and his crew to work with.
I wonder what they used to carry those, what animals they used to carry the baby sheep. Anyway, we'll talk about that another time.
No, they're not sending the sheep. They're sending the essence.
Right, but how did they grow them? I wonder. Did they put it into another animal? I mean, they took the first human and they put it inside Nimba's womb, and they were.
These are animals that they already had created in their laboratories on Nibiru.
All right, so it's to be explored. Anyway, that's it for today's episode. We're going to part. Well, first of all, thank you everybody for listening today. We're going to part with our outro, and then we'll follow that with Fast Ones. It's an instrumental by You Are a Hologram. Thank you very much, and aloha from Maui, Hawaii.
Oh, outro is web talk for the opposite of intro.
Yeah, so do tune in to aquarianradio.com and go to yankeespeaks.com. Thank you very much. Aloha for today.
Thanks for joining us today on Aquarian Radio. We broadcast daily and are scheduled on aquarianradio.com. Listen live by calling 646-649-0893, or you can listen live by calling 646-649-0893, or listen to our archive on aquarianradio.com. Join us again soon, and do tell your friends, the age of Aquarius and the paradigm of peace is now.